Aspen Gate is designed to prevent and detect contraband from being brought onto campus. So the idea is hopefully that our students, our community knows that our campuses are safe places.
This is Kyle Kinzer. He's with the Escambia County Public Schools. He's the Director of Protection Services. You think of him as the security guy. And talking with Channel 3 about the decision to purchase 25 of these open gate metal detectors, contraband detectors, vape detectors, all kinds of things that they can pick up and figure out if you've got it. And the idea is not that they would be at each individual entrance to the high schools or the middle schools. There's obviously not enough of them to do that with. But that they will be used strategically, randomly, occasionally. When you're walking through areas, you will come through the two poles and they will, in a very light touch kind of approach, instead of the, you know, sort of intimidating outline frame of a metal detector, it'll alert that you've done a bad thing. And then they will take you to the side and talk to you about what that bad thing is and, you know, whatever. In fact, it's not something we can do everywhere. There's just too many people.
If we are screening 100% of our students, that's going to take hours. That's really difficult with schools that have 1,500 to 2,000 students. So with our students right now, what we want to do is we want them to know that at any point during the day, they could be randomly selected for screening.
So be aware that there could be a random screening anywhere you happen to be walking during the day. So be careful or don't do it, right? Deterrence starts with an awareness that there could be consequences for what you do.
A lot of what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis involves social media and involves vapes. You know, this definitely is here to detect weapons, vapes, and but we want parents to know that these are issues that are coming to light at school, but they're still issues that are happening at home.
All right, so I'm going to start from the premise that the devices work well, that they don't give you a lot of false positives and they don't give a lot of false negatives. False positive would be that the cell phone alerts the device, or that, you know, I don't know if you have a lighter in your pocket, whether that's allowed or not at school. Maybe I'm unsure. If you have Altoids tin, you know, like that's the right size that it might be confused about what that is, whether it's a vape or something else or a USB stick. I mean, anyway, I'm assuming that the devices are fairly accurate and that they don't miss a lot of things as well, that this actually adds a substantial degree of improvement to catch somebody who might be carrying this stuff. My question for you, 437-1620, is this good? This is good. Are you pleased with this decision by the school board to move ahead with a fairly non-invasive screening system for your kids in the middle and high schools? Because the arguments for are obvious, right? The arguments for are, well, you know, kids bring contraband to school, and, you know, we've had kids bring guns to school, and wouldn't it be better to catch them? Or, if not catch them, deter them, right? Wouldn't that be better? And, you know, vapes are a problem on campus, and, you know, let's make them scared to bring the vapes. How are we going to get the vaping epidemic under control? Because you know kids vape in school. Lots of kids vape in school. Almost like who doesn't, right? How do you get that under control? Well, 437-1620, that's my question for you. Text me, what do you think? Is this good or not? Because let me give you something to think about on the other side. And I will tell you, I don't think that I'm fully opposed, but I'm very concerned. And here's what I'm concerned about. As a parent, I get what I expect. Not always. Sometimes I get better than I expect, and sometimes I get worse than I expect. But I give my kids expectations of how they're going to behave by how I treat them. And they will tend, not always, it's an imperfect system, to perform up or down to my expectations. And so I have to always be thinking, what sort of signal am I sending them about what I expect from them? Because if I send them the signal that I love you, I trust you, you're smart, you're responsible, I tend to get that. If I, on the other hand, send them the signal that you're stupid and ignorant and I'm disappointed in you and you can't take care of yourself or do anything wise, guess what I get? Again, not all the time. You know, you can set bad expectations and get good behavior, and you can set good expectations and get bad behavior. Welcome to parenting. All right? But my concern about this is I think that we are setting the message for all kids everywhere that we don't trust you, that you're bad, that school is not a safe place, that this is the kind of place where people are coming to hurt you all the time, which, of course, we know that's true much of the time. But it definitely conveys a different tone when, for example, you go on a city block and you see a bunch of businesses that all have open windows or just windows with display cases. And then you go to another part of town and you see bars and padlocks and metal shutters. You convey a fundamentally different picture of what's the level of safety in that place, what is your belief about the people around that place. And, you know, even though arguably a lot of these things are done to make you feel safe, they make you feel less safe in the process. Because now what you think, I mean, you know, back in the day before 9/11, did you feel safe going to the airport? Everybody felt safe going to the airport. Now you go through this whole process. Do you feel safe or less safe? I mean, me personally, I feel less safe. I feel like safety is such a thing that they don't trust all of us, that it's worse in a lot of ways. And I am concerned that the installation of random gun and vape detector systems like this is teaching kids that we think they're basically bad. And sends a message to them that school is an unsafe place and we can't trust you, and so we have to do this. Are those justified beliefs? Yeah, sure. Is there a cause for this? Oh, yeah, sure. But when I'm sending my kids to a school where they've got a metal detector going in, maybe what I think is, and remember, I homeschool, but we sent them to middle school for, you know, to Brown Barge for a couple of kids. What I'm thinking to myself is, yeah, I don't know, maybe I just don't need to send my kids to a school that's that vulnerable. 437-1620, we'll get your text in here in just a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
I actually had a couple phone calls on this topic. One caller said, who's going to be doing these screenings? Who's going to be looking at the students? Who's going to be...
Yeah, personnel, you know, is a good question, mm-hmm. right?
And another gentleman said, yeah, we definitely need these. It's just very sad that we do. All right, so looking around town, I just had this from the traffic tip line. Somebody texted in and told us that at 98 westbound, just before Avalon Boulevard, right there in front of the Walmart, the roadways are clear, but we're seeing some massive slowdown there headed westbound because people are slowing down to stare at some cars off to the side from an earlier accident that got cleared out of the roadway. But I guess just some rubberneck action there. Otherwise, around town, we're looking pretty good. Highway 90 through Milton and Pace is clear. Highway 29 south through Cantonment is looking good. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. No delays on Burgess or Olive. And 9 Mile is accident-free, not showing any delays in Carr City. If you do see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle or putting off thinking about that next vehicle, pay attention because Frontier Motors is for you. Like, I understand you like to... I'd buy a car and then I'd drive it till the wheels fall off. But, you know, right before the wheels fall off, you start spending more money on it than it's worth. And you start putting repairs into it to keep the old car running when you really should just go buy a different car and then maybe even save money. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. But at least you get a better car that you can rely on, count on, enjoy driving, has better technology and safety features. Frontier Motors, 300 different cars, trucks on the lot. At any moment, you can test drive a bunch of them and see for yourself whether you might not even save a little bit of money or maybe spend a little bit, but get something that's worth having instead of the thing that you're, you know, scared of or embarrassed about or just don't like driving very much. You deserve better. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, texts about this topic of whether the threat detectors, vape detectors in the schools are a good thing. Got a lot of texts in here. I'll try to get to all of them real quick. It really doesn't matter whether it's good or not good. It's where we're at right now, so it needs to be done. Somebody says, prosecute parents, custodial guardians. That'll go a long way to preventing guns on campus. This is a good thing. Unfortunately, any consequences or bad behavior are almost non-existent in Escambia County Public Schools. Well, unfortunately, Andrew, we are having to compensate for the lack of parenting on so many kids. I don't think it changes much. These kids place them in their underwear because they know they can't be checked there. They also do vape in the bathrooms. It doesn't solve that problem. Well, they got to get it into the school, right? And maybe they're worried about getting caught. As a former high school teacher, I had to It's absolutely good. Even with the false positives, parents aren't doing their job. Someone has to protect teachers and other students. Former teacher, I had to parent the kids because their parents are terrible. Somebody here says kids will always get in trouble with what they have access to. It used to be cigarettes. Now it's cell phones and guns. It only seems intrusive today. If we revisit this a week after another school shooting, we'll think it's not enough. Now, that's a fair point. Plus, you get used to whatever. You know, you don't even question at the airport anymore, right? That's true. My children try to avoid going to the bathroom in between classes because it's so smoky at their high school. That's awful. I absolutely agree. This is a good thing. Our schools are not safe. Our children are raised to behave like criminals, so they might as well get the inmate treatment. Well, that seems to be a mixed message, right? That's part of the problem is how we treat them like inmates. Of course, I realize that not all kids are that way. Not all parents raise their kids like that. However, the declination of parenting and societal expectations have warranted extra measures to ensure safety. We need Stuart Smalley for president. Yeah, I was thinking that same thing.
Doggone it.
I'm both a parent and a teacher. I very much in favor of the devices think all should pass through. It's, if a student has nothing, they have nothing to worry about. To counter your point about thinking kids are bad because of this, these devices just didn't happen. It's a result of a moral decline in our society. There's this, one of my favorite moments in a movie. It's probably a movie you've not seen. It's called A Man Without a Face with Mel Gibson. He plays this brilliant, amazing, frustrating teacher who was teaching this kid as a tutor, and then these allegations come out about his past. The allegation is that he did a horrible thing, okay, to a kid. And there's this scene on the beach where the student confronts Mel Gibson and says, "Did you do it? Tell me the truth. I'll believe you. Just tell me." And he says, "No, use your mind. Reason." Norberg is his name. He says, "Reason. Think about this. I didn't teach you all this time for you to cheat on the final exam." And then the kid's like, "Yeah, you're right. This is inconceivable. You can't have possibly done this. You're not that kind of person." Trust is a very delicate thing. And faith and love and hope are all delicate things. And you know the old expression, trust but verify? It sounds good, but it's absolute nonsense. If you verify, you don't trust. Period. You know, once you make the choice to go look on your significant other's phone to see what they're doing, you've already made the decision that you believe they're cheating. That doesn't mean that they're not cheating, that you trust them. But if you choose to get information, if you even ask for evidence, you've already made the choice not to trust. And so the message we send to kids about who they are through something like this is powerful. Be careful what message you send to people in the interest of doing good for them. 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Exciting news. The data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God answers our prayers one of three ways: yes, wait, or no. When God says yes, we rejoice. When God says wait, we learn patience. When God says no, we are reminded that He is God, because if God couldn't say no, then He wouldn't be God, we would be. As our loving Father, He says no to His children, and we submit to His will. As our King, He says no, and we bow our knee. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh, and essentially, God says no. But God told Paul, "I will give you grace to handle your trial." Sometimes God says no to our request, but then He says yes to sufficient grace to help in the time of need.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850. 850- Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That spells Tigger.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
Every time I hear that, it's so potent. What a great opening to a song. 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Here we go.
I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
It's a song you didn't know you needed to hear today, but you did, right? Let's see. Jake has got our traffic on the five. Sorry, Jake. He literally just moved his head away from the microphone. Sorry about that.
No,
Jake.
I was just going to grab an extra set of headphones there. All right. We're starting to see some accidents pop up on the map here. One just popped up here. This is going to be Mobile Highway at West Michigan Avenue. That's where Softly Field Road turns into Michigan Avenue there. We do have a disabled vehicle with roadblock there, as well as North Navy Boulevard at Patton Drive. No roadblock there. Not going to see any major slowdowns from that. And now just, man, they're just starting to pop up everywhere. It's like whack-a-mole. North W Street at Beverly Parkway, we have a vehicle crash with injuries. Got some roadblock there, so please use caution getting through there. Crews probably aren't even on the scene yet. Earlier, we had an accident at Highway 98. This is going to be westbound at Tiger Point Boulevard. The accident has moved off to the side of the road, but people are slowing down to look at the cars on the side of the road. So that's going to cause some major slowdown on Highway 98 westbound, getting through Tiger Point up to that light at Avalon Boulevard, and also eastbound on Highway 98. Whoa, it's just really, really slow, starting around the Walmart in Navarre, going all the way up to the Parish Boulevard McDonald's up near Windhaven Beach. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, please let us know. Call or text our traffic tip line. That's 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I'll forfeit my time to get the rest of that song going. Man, you were right. I didn't know I needed to hear that today. I did.
Buffalo Springfield is so good.
A federal appeals court is going to be hearing arguments today over that controversial Texas immigration law that would give the state the power to arrest migrants suspected of crossing into the country illegally. In Tennessee, officials say the suspect who allegedly killed a man during an Easter brunch has been arrested. In Kentucky, authorities believe 46-year-old Anton Rucker is the man that opened fire inside of a Nashville coffee shop on Sunday, killing a man he was arguing with, injuring about half a dozen other people. And rescuers are now searching for people who may be trapped in buildings damaged by the 7.4 magnitude earthquake that hit Taiwan. So far, they're saying at least 9 people were killed and hundreds were injured by the earthquake. Dozens of buildings have been reported damaged, including a 10-story building that was left tilting and on the verge of collapse.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. If you're having any kind of a plumbing issue, leak, drip, weird sound in the wall, you flush the toilet and the walls talk back to you, that should not happen. Call Barbary Plumbing. They'll come out and take care of it at flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. Or they can fix the thing that you unfixed. may have done that personally recently. And they came out and they took care of it. And I felt dumb, but that's why I don't know, because I'm not the plumber. And I tried and I failed. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. This is a traffic note for those of you in the Milton Pace area. West Spencerfield Road. You know those speed bumps you love to hate? They're going. The speed bumps are going away on West Spencerfield Road. In trade, you're going to get new traffic signal. So maybe better, maybe worse, I don't know. But the speed bumps are coming out this week. The traffic signal is going to be installed over the next several weeks. So a little bit of a change in traffic there. And that's always a note for just pay attention. Things might be different. People might not be the smartest when they react to all the changes. And just keep your eyes open and your foot near the brake if you need it.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Former President Trump is leading President Biden several key battleground states. The Wall Street Journal has the former president with the edge in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina.
Pennsylvania, for instance, you've got Trump leading by 3 points. It's a state Trump won in 2016 but lost 4 years later. Nevada, Trump now leading by 4 points. Wisconsin, though, one swing state where Trump is not leading but simply tied with Biden.
Fox's Mark Meredith. Former President Trump and President Biden win primaries in Rhode Island, New York, Connecticut, Wisconsin, but some 47,000 people in the Badger State voting uninstructed, which is considered a protest vote against the current president. The Nashville Metro PD says the alleged Easter Sunday gunman, that's 46-year-old Anton Rucker, is in custody, tracked down to a residence in Kentucky. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio, 92.3. Right now we do have partly cloudy skies. It is 62 degrees in Pensacola. The Pensacola man accused of murdering a man in Daphne over the weekend has now been arrested. WKRG reporting Joseph Gurley was arrested in Washington County, Alabama. He's accused of fatally shooting Matt Bonnell at the Abedin Park Apartments on Sunday morning. Investigators say Gurley had a lengthy rap sheet, including several felony convictions in Mobile County and two felony no contest pleas in Florida. He'd just been released from the Escambia County Jail on March 20th after violating probation last January. State regulators have approved a request by Florida Power and Light to reduce costs for their customers starting in May due to lower than expected natural gas prices.
Approval of the mid-course will allow FPL to flow back to customers a total of $662 million beginning in May. For a 1,000 kilowatt hour residential customer, this means a monthly reduction in their fuel charge of $7.49.
And that from yesterday's Public Service Commission meeting. And FPL executives say the mid-course correction also coincides with a hurricane storm restoration charge that's now dropped off. The typical residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours could see about a $14 difference in their bills starting in May. Well, with the recreational pot initiative on the ballot for voters in Florida to decide this November, advocates now say messaging will be important so consumers are well aware of laws and rules governing its use.
Driving under the influence of any controlled substance is illegal right now in the state of Florida, as is illegal in all 50 states, and it's going to remain just as illegal going forward.
That's Paul Armentano. He's the deputy director of Normal and a recreational pot advocate. If recreational use of marijuana becomes legal in Florida, as it is in 24 other states right now, consumers would need information, he says, to make responsible choices. Well, over 200 Americans are out of Haiti, thanks to Florida officials. That from Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday. He says the Division of Emergency Management has worked to bring over 220 Americans that were in Haiti back to Florida. That first rescue flight was 2 weeks ago today. The governor says when Floridians and other Americans are in need, the state of Florida will always act. A Milton man has died after a crash in Santa Rosa County yesterday. This happened at Andy's Lane and Jay's Way. The 27-year-old was trying to make a turn when his vehicle went off the road, hit a tree. The driver died at the scene of that crash. And Escambia County deputies are going to be featured on a special 5-episode run of Cops on the Fox Nation streaming service throughout the rest of this month. The episodes are called Cops Spring Break, and they'll be released weekly on Fridays on Fox Nation. The shows will feature Escambia County deputies patrolling on Pensacola Beach, as well as deputies from Okaloosa and Pinellas counties. And they'll all be dealing with spring break issues that were filmed last year. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Great on our roadways out there. We are seeing some major slowdown on Highway 98, though. This is going to be westbound getting into the Tiger Point area. We had a vehicle accident earlier that actually is cleared out of the roadway now. The cars are off to the side of the road, but we have a lot of people slowing down to look at that accident. So that's causing some slowdown going all the way back into almost Midway, all the way up to Avalon Boulevard light there. Also, Highway 98 eastbound, getting out of Navarre, starting around the Walmart Supercenter, stretching all the way up to Windhaven Beach, to that McDonald's at Parrish Boulevard, seeing some slowdown there. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is looking good. We had some earlier accidents. This is going to be at Mobile Highway and West Michigan Avenue. We have a disabled vehicle with roadblock there. Also, let's see here. This is going to be North W Street at Beverly. We have a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock in that area. Also, the traffic light, wow, at North W Street and Airport is out. So please use caution in that area. North W Street at Airport, we got the traffic light out. Also, North W Street at Beverly, we have a vehicle crash with injuries. Also, man, this just popped up on the map. East Johnson Avenue at University Parkway. We have a vehicle crash with roadblock there as well. So, man, starting to get a little busy there on the roadways. So just use caution. Leave a little early if you can. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, let me know about it. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Clouds are going to be clearing out through the morning hours. Beautiful afternoon. Temperatures near 72 degrees with breezy winds coming in from the north. As you go overnight tonight, temperatures are going to be dropping near 50 degrees. For Thursday, nice sunny weather with temperatures near 72 degrees for your high. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 62 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, 62 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Private sector job growth expanded last month at its fastest pace since July of 2023. According to ADP, companies added 184,000 workers in March. It's an increase from the upwardly revised February gain of 155,000. In addition to the strong employment pickup, ADP reports that wages for workers who stayed at their jobs increased roughly 5% from a year ago. Trump Media and Technology Group has announced it is suing its co-founders, accusing them of failing spectacularly to get the company off the ground and then trying to thwart the deal when they tried to go public. The lawsuit seeks to bar Wesley Moss and Andrew Litinsky from appointing members to the company's board or owning any of its shares. Both men claim that a signed 2021 agreement guarantees them 8.6% of Trump Media's total stock. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials dropped 396.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and DC Talk. DC Reeves is our mayor, and he's been off for a couple of weeks because he had a birthday. So, by the way, Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, and happy birthday.
Thank you. My first interview in my 40s. Here with you, Andrew.
Are you old enough now to be able to run for office, or old enough now to realize that, you know, maybe there's more to that decision than you realized?
Both. All of the above.
Oh, man. I remember when I used to teach, I always wished I had a little bit of gray hair because people would take me seriously, and I still don't. So, you know, whatever. It just happens. Lots of stuff to get to. Let's start with, I mean, obviously the ransomware attack has been kind of the big story that everybody's reported on. The two main things I think we can say at this point is we still don't have answers. To the degree you have them, you still can't say, but you are taking protective measures on the possibility that people's information has been compromised. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. As of yesterday, we said, hey, look, even though there's not specific data, specific evidence that says this or that has been taken, obviously that's a whole other phase. But we're at the point now, as we did in 2019, where we said, hey, we're going to go ahead and start taking those protective measures, setting up some credit monitoring, the toll-free number. That'll take a couple days, obviously, to get up and going. And then as we learn more, when and if that we get specific data that we feel like has been breached, then everyone will get specific notices in the mail as per all of that protocol. So all we're kind of saying right now is, hey, you know, there's enough concern there for us to say, let's go ahead and start this process and not wait 4 or 5 days to get exactly all of the specificity of every bit of information that may or may not have been breached at this point. So obviously, we're going to do everything that we can to make sure that we protect the citizens and their information. But just more to come, really. But what I said this whole time was that when we reach that point, I want to say something about it. And that's what we did.
And just in case people haven't been paying attention to this, this has gone well beyond local law enforcement. This is now in the hands of FDLE and FBI, and this is a big deal, which means it'll take time, but it also means that they're really good at this. So,
That's right. And I want to say, you know, we have people around the clock, including Chief Jenny Craner, who runs our emergency operations. When we have a hurricane, continues to be leading this, doing an awesome job. Our IT team's doing an awesome job. So, rest assured, hour by hour, we are on top of everything that we can do to get to a positive outcome.
Very good. I had a couple of questions from listeners I wanted to make sure to ask you. The first one is the post office downtown. People are really nervous about not being able to have a post office downtown. You have expressed in the past that you were kind of in negotiation, couldn't say too much just yet, but do we have any news or any prognosis for whether there will still be a post office service downtown?
The last update I had, which was a couple weeks ago, was a very positive one in a step in that direction. And what I'll say, I can't, obviously there's private negotiations between buildings and leaseholders and the post office and things like that I would not want to, get in the middle of. But what I could tell you is, there's some minor concessions with, loading zones and parking and whatnot that I was brought in to be asked about. And of course, in my position has been, we'll do everything within reason that we can to make that possible. So I would imagine that all the parties involved should feel good about that in terms of where the city is. We'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of that is out of our control, but I continue to advocate because I agree. I think that's a huge value to us in the downtown area.
I also got a text in from somebody or an email, I forget which now, but said about Bayview Parking. Wanted me to ask you this. Did you know you have to pay at Bayview Park in the lot closest to the water and the pavilions? Not the lot by the boat ramp, but the other lots. The ticket attendant, I got a $25 ticket, they write, says it's been that way for years, but they've just started enforcing it. Who knew? Anyway, I don't think it's right to make people pay for parking at a public city park. Can you ask the mayor about this? I thought the rule was, I mean, I had seen the signs and I thought, well, that's weird. I didn't think you had to pay there, but I still thought you only had to pay for the boat ramp spaces, the truck spaces. Do you have to pay for the other spaces too?
My understanding, and certainly we'll make sure from a signage standpoint, everything, that there's full clarification, is the issue we run into is cars parking in boat ramp spaces. And you have to understand, people pay not very much money. It's a very, very reasonable price. But people pay to use boat ramps across the city.
Right.
And so when it becomes boating season, when you park one car there, that's someone who has paid for that spot to use it. And so that was getting out of hand, especially in peak boat season. And that's what we were trying to enforce. I'm not aware of any car parking spaces that where they charge, but certainly I'll happy to look into that further and confirm. Or if there's a sign that's causing any kind of confusion, you know, we'll go out and take another look at that. But
okay.
But just understand the intent is that people who are paying for those boat spaces should have the best opportunity to get them, not have someone who's using the playground or whatever take one of those, in essence, paid spaces.
Yeah, I agree. I think the sign, when I noticed it, was a little bit confusing of whether it applied only to the boat ramp or to the entire pavement all the way over to the community center. So I can see why people would be confused. Sure. And certainly if somebody got a ticket and they're not supposed to get a ticket, that's concerning as well. But yeah, get back to me and let me know what the actual the rule is on that, because I think that I would object to having to pay for all the parking, you know, the car parking. Well, you know me, my views about parking.
Sure, absolutely.
But yeah, find out for sure and get back to me. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of the City of Pensacola. Hang on just a second. Let's get Jake in here with traffic on the fives.
Okay, we have a couple accidents to tell you about this morning. This is going to be at North W Street and Beverly Parkway. We have roadblock there with a vehicle crash with injuries. Also, just up the road a bit at North W and Airport, that traffic light is currently out. So please use caution getting through there. Also, East Johnson Avenue at University Parkway, we have roadblocked there with a vehicle crash. And otherwise around town on Highway 98 westbound, getting into Tiger Point, we're seeing a major slowdown there. We had an accident earlier. People are still looking at the accident off on the side of the road. And also 98 eastbound, getting out of Navarre into Windhaven Beach, seeing a really, really bad slowdown there this morning as well. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by New South Window Solutions. This Saturday only, New South sale event from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Receive 40% off windows and doors. Bring in your measurements before noon for an additional 5% off. That's a New South sale event this Saturday from New South Window Solutions. I am Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is you're bringing in a homeless consultant and going to help you kind of figure out what to do. And kind of when I saw this news, I thought, again? You know, we've had a lot of studies and a lot of consultants over the years. What makes this make sense?
Yeah, so let me clarify, because it's more specific than that. It's not homeless, just a consultant on the homeless. This is specific to an opportunity center, a low barrier. And this is now an even more pertinent conversation given the legislation that may be coming to the state with Governor DeSantis. So it's John DeCarmine, who is operating about a $4 million annual low barrier shelter operation in Gainesville. They've lowered homelessness by 40%. They've lowered visible homelessness by 53%. And so it's someone who's done it before. So this is this is very, very specific to this operation, of which the city has intended to use its final ARPA homeless reduction dollars on. So I'm glad you asked that to clarify. This isn't come in, give us sweeping recommendations about everything you do to reduce homelessness. We've got other channels that are already doing that. This is saying, hey, before we go spend money on a low barrier shelter and partner with the county and everyone else, let's make sure that our budget's right. Let's make sure that we right size it. And so this is someone who has done it before and has had continuity and consistency in being able to do that. So,
okay.
So we have him coming in, and I think he's going to come in May 13th. I think there'll be a CivicCon too, to kind of talk about low barrier shelter, what it is, what it isn't. And so I know there'll be some public facing opportunity to hear him speak.
And what's the price tag for him?
I think it's about 9,000.
Okay. So it's a, compared to some other things, it's a fairly small thing, and it's very specific to this project. So that that makes more sense to me. I had not understood that it was that particular. Very good. All right, I have a weird idea. You know me, I'm a weird idea guy. And in listening to city council meetings, county commission meetings, zoning and planning meetings, my God, now I'm even listening to those. Here's a problem that I hear comes up a lot. I want to upzone this property because I have this project in mind. Well, once we upzone it for that purpose, we're going to have to embrace all the other purposes that the higher zone allows, and we're not really thrilled about that. Plus, what if you don't even follow through on your project? We like this project, but that project doesn't come to fruition. We sometimes do the upzone, and then we're just stuck with the zone change, and we didn't even get the project that we were doing it for. So here's my thought.
Right.
Why can't we do, and I know it's going to sound like spot zoning, but hear me out. Why can't we offer an exemption for a conditional use within a non-conforming zone for this project only and say, hey, we like this project, but we don't want to change the whole thing and we don't want to carry entitlement rights to future sales or any of that, but we do like this one project and we think this one project fits with the neighborhood. Why can't we do it that way, and what would need to happen in order for us to be able to do it that way?
Well, my answer is going to be it's probably spot zoning.
I told you couldn't say that.
but look, I think obviously, I would have to defer when we get really technical to Sherry and the Development Services Office in terms of every rule and why not. But what I'll tell you is a lot of what you're asking is why we're doing an audit and a potential overhaul of the Land Development Code as a whole, because there might be, to get to the same outcome you're talking about, there might be more clear and more equitable tactics of which to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it just, Andrew, anytime you run into the picking and choosing winners and losers scenarios,
right.
I want this and I don't want that for perfectly good reasons. It just opens up a whole another can of worms, both are we even allowed to do it? And then why did you let Andrew do that and not DC?
Mm-hmm.
And so, it totally makes sense if we said, hey, we want this one type of development and this would be huge for our tax base. Why can't we do it? That makes perfect sense. But it just, again, opens up this Pandora's box of other issues. So in terms of the technicalities of that, they would probably be able to better answer why or why not. But what I hope is that we can start to solve some of those issues that gives us more flexibility that you speak of with an overhauled land development code for the first time in almost two decades.
Well, I would just, all I'm saying is maybe press, maybe ask attorneys or whatever, but something that, because it's always that always comes up in these conversations, and it seems like there's got to be a way to avoid that problem that gives the council members comfort in making their decisions. Maybe you require a supermajority or even a unanimity or something like that, but it seems like something in that direction might be. But I know you guys are working on that, and I just wanted to bring it up as a crazy wingnut Andrew idea in case it can work.
We'll look into the McKay exemption.
Call it the McKay rule. I like that. All right. Yeah, we always like to end with frivolous topics, lightning round kind of thing. First question, did you ever in school have to memorize any poetry? If so, what poem did you memorize? Do you remember?
Was I supposed to or did I? It's very distinct. No. Not that I can recall. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Catholic high school.
All right. But you do know songs. You've memorized some songs.
Yes.
Okay. See, that's a poem. With music.
Oh, yeah. So, man. I mean, I went to Catholic school. Every Catholic song that there is.
That's why we put music on them, because they're easy to memorize. When you go to Waffle House, we heard from Bert Thornton on the Jeff Bergosh Coffee with the Commissioner, one of the, Bert's Chili, right? Bert Thornton. He gave us his order.
Yep.
What's your order at Waffle House? How do you order your hash browns if you do order hash browns?
Oh, I definitely do. I always mess my words up with scattered covered dice, but I go onions and jalapenos, actually.
Okay. All right. Simplicity.
Smothered and peppered.
That is scattered and diced, I think.
Scattered, smothered, peppered. So.
That's Jake, who used to actually work a grill, so he's the one for sure to know. And last one is, I think Monday, in addition to being April Fool's Day, was National 1 Cent Day. Do you pick up pennies on the ground? Or what denomination of coin has it got to be in order to gather your interest?
Ooh, man, these days of inflation, that number, that coin might be going up in terms of the use on my back. But I have a 9-year-old, so we pick up all coins.
Okay, I got you.
So that may not be me doing it, but
somebody
Caroline
does it because it's exciting. Okay. Oh, and since I got you, do you like April Fool's Day pranks, stories, or do you think that's a silly and ridiculous and something else?
Well, I had the Trader Joe's one that people still ask me about. From
nice.
Last year. I decided to skip. I couldn't come up with something that could match it, so I skipped it this year.
Yeah, sometimes you retire on the top of the hill. That's
so,
right.
No, I'm in for it.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, joins us every Wednesday. Sir, as always, thank you for the time. We look forward to talking to you next week. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
755 News Radio 92.3. Jake's got another traffic on the fives for us. Jake?
Okay. Where do I get started here? Okay, we're seeing some really bad slowdown on Highway 98 westbound. getting through Tiger Point, getting up to that light at Avalon Boulevard. We had an earlier accident right there at Tiger Point Boulevard. It's got things still slowed down. People looking at that accident as well as our normal morning slowdown in that area. Also, Highway 98 eastbound getting out of Navarre, starting at around the Walmart Supercenter, stretching all the way up to the Parish Boulevard McDonald's in Windhaven. Also, Highway 29 south through Inslee, seeing some very, very slow traffic there because we have an accident. This is going to be North W Street at Beverly Parkway. That's got a roadblock there with vehicle crash with injuries. Also, just up the road a bit, North W Street at Airport Boulevard, we have the traffic light out. So just coming down Highway 29 this morning is going to be a little bit dicey. Also, we have a vehicle crash with roadblock. This is going to be East Johnson Avenue and University Parkway. Also seeing some slowdown coming off of Highway 90. Getting onto Scenic Boulevard this morning. Got a little bit of congestion there. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let us know about it. You can call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Did you know that April is Autism Acceptance Month? Autism Pensacola is the leading resource center and community connector for autism support, advocacy, and education in Northwest Florida. They aim to educate the community about autism, serve as a network for families and professionals, advocate for better services, and provide opportunities through camps, special events, and enrichment programs, together creating a more autism-friendly Northwest Florida. Celebrate Autism Acceptance Month. Visit AutismPensacola.org and explore ways to get involved. That's AutismPensacola.org.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back. Good to have you. Most of the weather seems to have passed us by this morning, so not too worried about that. Might just be a little bit of rain, like in Navarre or something, Gulf Breeze, that kind of area this morning. Otherwise, mostly has passed us by today. But temperatures are going down, which is weird. It's like we started at 70, it's going down to like 65. So, you know, started off at pants and maybe you start to work, or start off at shorts, maybe you start to work toward shorts throughout the day.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.